My guest at the time is Hans von Spakovsky. He's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington, and he's also the co-author of the new book, Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. We did a two-part interview with Mr. von Spakovsky earlier this year when the book came out, and you can see that at our website. We want to talk to him today about what the proper Justice Department role is in situations like what we're seeing unfold in Ferguson, Missouri, where Attorney General Eric Holder has announced a number of steps to date, including the Justice Department's own investigation of the shooting death of teenager Michael Brown, as well as a federal autopsy, in addition to the ones that have already been done. And Hans, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Happy to be talking to you.
This is obviously a local story that has now taken on a national scope. What is the general protocol in situations like this? Although, obviously, this is a pretty unique circumstance, but what's the protocol for the feds to get involved with something like this in the early stages of a case?
Well, generally, what the feds do is they monitor police shootings wherever they occur across the country. But remember, they are kind of the backup. You know, what they're supposed to do is to sit back and see if local authorities take the proper steps, you know, investigate the matter, figure out whether a police officer acted properly or not. They only are supposed to really step in fact, it turns out that the police officer did things he wasn't supposed to do and locals fail to prosecute or take the correct steps against the police officer.
So based on what you've seen out of the Justice Department to this point, have they acted appropriately or inappropriately?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, Holder has said that they are supplementing, not substituting for the locals' investigation. And, you know, that is okay, and that's within their authority. It's if they go into this and basically interfere with the local investigation, that's when it becomes a problem. It doesn't look like they're doing that yet as of now.
What would be a telltale sign that they are?
Well, you know, I'm sure we would hear from local authorities if the Justice Department was coming in and starting to interfere with their investigation. I haven't heard any complaints from them that they are doing that. Something else for folks to keep in mind is this. Look, they only have jurisdiction, that is the federal government, if there's evidence that the police officer acted intentionally to deprive someone of their civil rights. And if, in fact, the officer was simply reacting, even perhaps unreasonably, in a confrontation, that does not necessarily mean that any federal law has been violated.
What do you make of the autopsy ordered by the Justice Department?
Well, that one I frankly didn't really understand, and that may be an overstep on the part of the feds, because, in fact, there's no evidence of any kind that the local coroner's office cannot do a proper autopsy. So I'm not really sure what excuse Holder has for ordering a second one, because the only reason to do that is if you're questioning the validity and frankly the competence of the local coroner, and there's no evidence to show that they don't know what they're doing.
You and John Fund, in your book, Obama's Enforcer, talk a lot about what you see as the missteps coming out of the Civil Rights Division. In light of that track record to date from the Holder Justice Department, do you see this as an opportunity for them to perhaps act in a more responsible manner, or are you more fearful of what could come out of this based on what you've already believed to have happened in that division?
Well, I am fearful that they will try to pursue a federal case, even if there's no evidence to justify it, because of the fact that they really see everything, including Eric Holder, through the prism of race, even when race is not a factor in a case or an incident. And I'm afraid that, you know, Holder and them may be tempted to do that.
Hans, obviously, the only people who truly know what happened are the officer. Obviously, the victim is dead here, and there may have been a witness or two, and some of the statements being made there are being called into question at this point. So a lot of people are offering opinions when obviously they weren't there, and we don't have a lot of the details in this yet. So is there any way for there to be an acceptable conclusion to this investigation?
Well, there is if everyone will calm down and slow down. Because what needs to happen is there needs to be a very detailed, very thorough investigation of the facts, which would include looking at all of the audio videotapes of any kind that are available before anyone jumps to any conclusions about what happened and whether or not the police officer was acting properly.
Hans, you mentioned that to this point it doesn't look like the feds are interfering in the local investigation of the shooting death, and it's been said that the president's statements to date have shown more restraint than perhaps in the Skip Gates incident of 2009 or the Trayvon Martin shooting. Is that your assessment as well?
Yeah, I'm actually been pleasantly surprised, particularly when, the president and others, including Eric Holder, have said, look, there's no excuse for the kind of looting and violence that occurred. And that is absolutely right. And that is something that the leadership of the country, like Barack Obama, need to be telling to people in Ferguson.
All right, let's move on to another topic just briefly, but it's been in the news a lot over the past couple of days. It was Friday that we heard about the indictment coming down from a grand jury in Travis County, Texas, which is home of Austin, the state capital. Texas Governor Rick Perry indicted for threatening to veto funding legislation for the DA's office for a public integrity program to the tune of about $7.5 million because he demanded the resignation of the DA who was arrested on drunk driving and with a blood alcohol content way over the legal limit. That resignation didn't come. He followed through on his veto, and the prosecutors are saying that's an abuse of power. What do you make of the indictment?
Well, to call this indictment frivolous would be giving it too much credibility. And in fact, it comes from an office, the Travis County DA's office, that has a very unfortunate past history of using and abusing its power for political purposes. You know, this is the same office that indicted Tom DeLay for doing perfectly legal political fundraising. That case was eventually thrown out by the Texas courts. This is the same office also that tried to indict Kay Bailey Hutchison 20 years ago when she first elected as a U.S. senator for supposed abuse of her office. That case was dismissed 30 minutes after the trial started. So this is, frankly, an office with a very bad reputation.
Is it possible to abuse power by threatening a veto? What kind of standard would need to be met to make that a legitimate charge?
It is not a legitimate charge. The governor of Texas has unlimited, unbridled power under Section 14 of the Texas Constitution to veto a bill for any reason or no reason. And what this office is trying to do is basically take a political conflict and turn it into a legal case, and they have no basis for doing so.
Last topic here, Hans. Based on what you said on the Ferguson case, you believe a federal case is probably coming down the pike one way or the other based on what you've seen from this administration, and obviously you believe we're seeing in politics injected into the Texas situation with Governor Perry. Right now, how high is the level of politicizing of our justice system, and how much does it concern you?
Well, Eric Holder has completely politicized the Justice Department. And as we can see, unfortunately, this is happening in other places like the Travis County DA's office. And that should concern every American. I don't care what their political background is, because that is a threat to everyone's liberty and everyone's freedom when that kind of power is used for political purposes.
And do you see it getting better before it gets worse, or worse before it gets better?
From everything I'm seeing, it looks like it's getting worse, because these are not the only examples of this. There are others going on around the country, including in places like Wisconsin.
And that's obviously the case regarding Governor Walker and some fundraising issues there that have never resulted in formal charges. Hans, very interesting. As always, plenty to talk to you about. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Hans von Spakovsky is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He is the co-author of the brand new book, Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. The co-author is John Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.